okay, I'll see you later. Ah, man. So I got to kind of contact him and say thank you a lot. Anyway, I just want to never, ever have a time in your life. Mary, you can back me up on this. You'll never have a time like this in your life where you can throw marshmallows hard at your peers and then walk into a room and sing songs about God. That's never going to happen again. I hope you take advantage of these years. Because that doesn't happen at your workplace. You know, like the boss didn't come out and go, let's play a game for 30 minutes and then we'll do some work.
Unless you are the boss.
Unless you're the boss.
Google might do that, but every time you do a web search on Google, a little bit of money goes to some advertisers. Yeah. So every time you search for something on Google, Google gets paid.
Really?
Yeah. And they coined the phrase Google it. So every time you look for something on the internet, they get a little bit of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
all right, let's bring it down, shall we? Let's bring it down. We'll get into this.
Like, do you even Google fresh?
I Bing. No, I'm just kidding.
I Google.
Trash. Let's go with this. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this. I'm so glad that you're here, Hannah. So glad. And by the way, that was some good stuff. So thank you, Katie. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, James. That was some good stuff.
James over there.
James. Katie. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for gathered here as your people. We pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit to work in us. Change us by your word. And we just ask for that miracle to happen right now tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've been going through the Beatitudes. And here's the one. Blessed are those who show mercy, for they shall receive mercy. We are a people who love justice. Back a couple years ago, if you turned on TNT, all you saw was cop shows and Law and Order. Why is that?
Still see that.
Still see it. I don't watch TNT too much, but Cop Rock, do not Google that. Back, I'll just tell you this, okay? This is a little rabbit trail. But about 20 years ago when I was in middle school, this guy thought of an idea. Like, he's a big-time actor, and it was his dream to put on a show about cops, but it's also a musical. So literally, it lasted one season. They'd be out in the courtroom, and the guy would stand up, I'm not guilty, and like everybody get behind him. It lasted a season. Half a season.
Dude.
I saw a YouTube one real quick, and it was like they had a police. This is not even joking. A police lineup. Police lineup turned into like a song and dance. I didn't do it. No. Bad.
How does this not have like 7 seasons?
Dude, how
is this? Like,
this is probably better than my
favorite. But anyway, so we love justice. We love justice. It's apparent in our TV shows. Right now, the big thing, if you watch movies, is it's superheroes. And what are they fighting? They're fighting the bad guys. They're fighting for justice.
For themselves.
Right? Getting the bad guys. But what is mercy? Is mercy being nice? No. Mercy is withholding something that's due. Withholding justice. That's what mercy is. You're withholding justice. Think about that for a second. Blessed are those who withhold justice. You ever think about that? Part of your faith is withholding justice, like showing your faith. God desires that we be a merciful people. But part of that is because our own sense of judgment goes through a sin filter. So our sense of justice might not be lining up with God's, and we're going to tip the scales a little bit in our favor. Therefore, God just says, be merciful. Be merciful. That's why he says it. But let's be real here. Showing mercy is really, really hard. Really hard. I remember as a kid, straight up, this is the closest picture I can come. As a kid, the whole church in our country church would come to my house every Thursday afternoon. We'd play football with the high school kids, and I was in like fourth grade. And all the church, all 30 of them, would show up to my house for a dinner and Bible study. It was really cool. But I went to my toy box, and I started noticing that there were some toys missing. And I said to my mom, Mom, I think some toys are missing. Do we have, like, somebody on the lookout for what's going on here? I said, no, stop being silly. Nobody's taking your toys. Sure enough, the number went down. I counted them. Optimus Prime. They're not going to take Optimus Prime now. That was mine. That little transformer. And it's missing. I'm like, hold on now. I didn't bring that to school. So, anyway, long story short, I live in the country, literally 4 or 5 miles from the nearest neighbor. We didn't get people knocking on our door. In fact, we'd wake up to shotguns being shot. We didn't even know people were hunting on our land, but that's how country we were. So somebody knocks on our door late one night, 9 o'clock. It's two little kids and a grown-up behind them. No one showed up to our house like that unless, no one comes uninvited. So I open the door, and there's two kids out there. And they have tears running down their face. And the guy behind them goes, tell them. Tell them. We took these, and there were like 5, 6 toys, and dropped them off. I didn't know. I was just a little kid. Oh, okay. And the dad said, and what else? And it won't happen again. I'm so sorry. Well, they had tears coming down their cheeks. They said, we're sorry. And in that moment, I wanted to go to school and yell from the rooftops just how bad these kids were. You know what these kids did to me? They took my toys. There's some weird, smug satisfaction in my heart that started swelling up when they started asking for forgiveness. I wanted to relish in that, but my dad, immediately as I closed the door, he saw the whole thing happen, goes, you're not going to tell anybody about this. He said, don't. If someone at church asks you about this, play dumb. Say, I don't want to talk about it. Don't tell anybody at school. Don't do anything like that. They asked you for forgiveness. You've done it. That's it. That was 30 years ago, and that's why I'm able to talk about it now, because I think that was lifted, that ban. But if it comes up at church, he said, just don't tell anybody. Just say, I don't want to talk about that. On the flip side of that, it's hard to show mercy, but when you're given mercy, that's a different thing. Like in college, before I met my beautiful bride, there was a college dance going on, and there was a damsel looking at the dance floor with no one on it and no guy to ask her. So I come up. I said, hey, can't help but notice the situation. There's some variables here. And she just said, and like literally the quarterback of the team, the big guy, comes up and like puts his hand on her arm and goes, everything okay? What'd this guy ask you? And I'm like, oh, no. I didn't know that. And she goes, nothing. Oh. Okay, thanks. See you later in that class we have together. And that was it. I was shown mercy. Great mercy by her. And that was the moment I just wanted to jump up and down. So it's a weird kind of dynamic. Showing mercy is really hard. Receiving it is awesome. We're in this weird sort of situation. So here's the deal. Deal with blessed are the merciful. Merciful. Here's a little known fact. The Hebrew word for godly is pretty much the same thing as mercy. So that means the more godly you are, the more merciful you are. The more godly you are, the more merciful you are. The way it starts is this. Blessed are the merciful. It's in the front and the back of what we're talking about. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It starts with a duty, like we're supposed to do that, and then it ends with a reward, for you will be shown mercy. And I believe this is so hard. This is actually a psalm. There's a curse for those who aren't merciful. This is actually a psalm. When the unmerciful one, when his case is called for judgment, let him be pronounced guilty. Count his prayers as sins. Let his years be few. Let his position be given to someone else. May his children become fatherless. May his wife become a widow. May his children wander as beggars. Goodness gracious. For those who don't show mercy, you have curses over you. Let no one be kind to him. Let no one pity his fatherless children. May all his offspring die. My goodness. Why? What is his crime? He refused to show kindness to others. See what a large vial full of plagues of God is poured out on those who are the unmerciful man. So by the rule of contraries, the blessing of the Almighty crown and encompass the merciful man. The merciful man is a blessed man. That's Thomas Watson. See what a large vial full of the plagues of God. Okay, showing mercy is a big deal to God. He wants you to do that. So we're just going to go through 5 things. How can you show mercy right now, 2016, to people? How can you do this? Because this is a big deal to Jesus. He said, blessed are the merciful. How can you do this? Here's one. Just show pity. Show pity. Here's a really good quote from St. Augustine, or Augustine, depending on where you're from. If I weep for the body from which the soul is departed, he's talking at a funeral. If I weep for the body which the soul has departed, should I weep for the soul which God has departed? In Mark 5, there's a guy possessed by a demon cutting himself, and he had been there on the scene. If we'd been there to see that, we could have been moved to pity. In fact, that there was a territory, Edom, that God was angry with because they showed no pity. We can be merciful to others by simply having pity on them. Put yourself in their shoes. That's what it's talking about. Not necessarily shower them with, I'm so sorry, but just put yourself in their shoes. Now, let me just be honest with you. There was a young man connected to this congregation, in a way, recently got in some legal trouble. And it was a weird circumstance how he got arrested. And it's sinful, ungodly, all that other stuff. But he made those $1 papers that you see at the gas stations. And there's his mugshot and, you know, black eyes, stuff like that. And it started to be shared on Facebook with people who didn't know his situation, didn't know anything about him. He was just, oh goodness, that happened in Aiken? Oh, and that's what happened? They started sharing it and laughing about it. Now, I've had lunch with that dude probably about 25 times this year, trying to hammer home a doorway for the gospel to go in somewhere. So it really hurt my heart when I saw people sharing this picture of this guy who got into trouble with the law. But I understand, and one side of me understands how you could just see that and be like, that is hilarious. That happened here in Aiken. But then there's another side of me that goes, he's got parents. That dude's got a brother and sister. A lot of people, that brings great shame to them and him as well. So showing pity is, get yourself in their shoes as much as possible. You can be merciful to others by reproving them gently. And here's a good quote. It's a cruel mercy when we see people go on in sin and let them alone. That's cruel. Cruelty. If you see someone walking into sin, enjoying it for a season, and you don't say anything about it, that's cruel. You are being cruel. The surgeon cuts the flesh in order that it would be healed. These are healing words. We're called to spiritual surgery every now and then. And that doesn't mean you're Mr. Judgmental, Miss Judgmental, Miss Self-Righteous, nothing like that. But if you have a friend that you care about who is going down the wrong path and you know it, the cruelest thing in the world to do would be like, just go ahead. Yeah, encourage them. That's cruelty. Cruelty. So think about this. If you saw someone's house on fire, would it be mean to run into the house, wake them up and say, your house is on fire? Yet now, today, we see people sleep in their sins and God's wrath is burning hot on them and we don't wake them up. That's cruel. That's cruel. Here's another one. By being merciful to the names of others. You can be merciful to others by being merciful to the names. Be merciful to their reputations. You know what's unmerciful? Taking the good name of someone away without having all the facts. That is unmerciful. When you don't have all the facts, you just jump in on the conversation and be like, yeah, that guy's a jerk, or whatever it might be. It's so easy to do. I'm not pointing the finger saying, you people, I know how easy this is. Take the good name of someone away. That's totally unmerciful. It's cruel to murder someone's name. Yet why do we do this? Why do we do this? Because it's pride. Pride can't endure to be outshined by abilities or reputations of others, so we murder their names instead. That's what happens. Christ is saying, you can show mercy to their reputation, to their name. Envy will cause you to mess up someone's name quick. Envy is consulting with the devil. So here's how this kind of works out. Let's say someone that you don't care about too well, someone who gets on your nerves, someone who saw this, you know, had this coming, something bad happens to them, and you wander in on a conversation where they're talking about their name. Well, the flesh says, jump in on that and drag them down. It feels good for a second. Jesus seer says, show mercy. Don't play that game. Show mercy. And it's hard. It is so hard. Goodness, it's so hard. And finally, you can be merciful by to others in their offenses against you. Acts 7:60, you have someone being killed by a slow death of stones being hurled at him. Stephen, and what does he say? He says this, do not lay this charge against them, Lord. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Proverbs 19:11 says that there's glory in passing over the sins of others. You really have two choices, said this before, cover or confront. Other than that, it's sin. You can either cover that sin or confront them about it, but you don't have option C. Mercy says, protect them. All right, and finally, I lied. Generally being merciful to the needs of others. Generally being merciful to the needs of others. Something deep to consider. Why has God allowed inequality in this world that he's created? Why has he allowed this world to be, for there to be inequality? Somebody on the other side of the tracks has 3 pennies to their name. You don't, you have a little bit more. So why is that? Or someone else has billions to their name. Why has God allowed inequality? Let me just pose this to you. He has made this world with inequality so that his people can show mercy. That's why. If everyone were rich, there'd be no need for offerings to the poor. Or any ways to show mercy, really. And also consider this. Consider how quickly things can turn. Man, providence can turn you on a little twisty-loo or whatever it's called, and you'll be the one needing mercy. So, anyway. How are we going to be a merciful people? 2 Corinthians 5:14 says that the love of Christ compels me, controls me. It makes me do things. The thing that Christ did is so massive, no one sits on it. No one does like the female chicken and just sits on the egg of the good news of the gospel. You have to do something because it's so good. It affects you. Did you see what happened this week with the Republican convention? Someone seemed to steal some words from another speech, and that's literally all you heard from everyone. That news affected everyone. So here's Trump's wife. Some people said, hey, she stole that speech. That's all people talked about on social media for the next day. That's all you, if you turn on the news. News affects people. I'm telling you, the gospel has to affect you in the same way. You can't just sit on that. You can't just hear that and go, oh, that's cool. In fact, the faith will always have good deeds real close by. I love this quote. Here's a good quote. The lamp of faith must be filled with the oil of charity. We can say it this way. The car of our faith must have good deeds as the fuel. James will say, show me your faith by your works. Anyone can say, I believe in Jesus. Not everyone can give Saturday morning sweating away for someone who can't pay you back. That's a little different. As a person of faith, you're called not to jump in when somebody's going down. That's what Jesus' point here is. Show mercy. All right. But unfortunately, again, this whole section is describing someone. It's not telling you how to be. It's describing someone. Describing someone's heart that has been amazed at how much mercy they've been shown. And here's where the rubber meets the road. Jesus told a story about this guy. He walks around and he can't pay the king back. He owes the king 200 grand. There's no way he can come up with that much money. Maybe 2 million. And so the king says, come here. He says, yes. You owe me 2 million. I do. I've chosen to forgive you of all that. You don't have to pay me a penny. You're free to go. You can go back to your house. Your house is yours. I'm not going to take it. Your family is yours. Back then, they could take the family. I'm not going to take it. Oh, great. So with much joy, he goes back home, and guess what happens? On the way, he sees someone who owes him like 10 bucks. And he says, give me my 10 bucks. Take him to jail. He owes me 10 bucks. It's the right thing to do. The king called him back and goes, what are you doing? Never mind. Deal's off. I showed you that much mercy, and that's what you do? Well, here's the deal. The more you understand the mercy shown to you, the more you'll wish to extend it. The more you know of Christ's mercy for you as a sinner, the more you'll want to extend it. Here's some questions to think about. A couple questions. And we'll talk about this in our little group, but are you known as a person who shows mercy? Are you known as that guy or that girl? How captivated are you by the news that you deserved an eternal existence of punishment and Jesus let that consequence fall on him? How captivated are you by that news? Because I got a little secret for you. That decides how merciful you are. If that's not a big deal to you, you're going to demand that people line up with your standard. If it is a big deal to you, you'll show mercy. And finally, is there someone in your life you need to show mercy to? Maybe someone you've judged a bit too quickly. If we could just go down the, I can't use that word anymore, Rolodex, but the list of people you know, I think, you know, even in my mind, I've sort of murdered this person's reputation. Because every time I go on social media, I'm like, who does he or she think they are? Maybe I need to show mercy in my mind. Maybe it's never come out in words. Maybe I need to start showing mercy. only because great mercy was shown to me. Well, let's pray, and then we'll break off into groups. Here's the good news that should, not as good as the gospel, obviously. We have two cakes, and Elizabeth baked us one, icing and everything. Icing and everything. And the Crowders brought a cake as well. And it looks like either Publix or Walmart, and that's just, yes, it's worth a couple dabs.
Bilo.
Bilo? Yes. Yeah. Snaps if you're at a coffee shop.
Like a blow, right?
Oh, yes. Coffee shop.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Look at the wave dab. I like it. Okay. Let's pray and then we'll do it. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Lord, it is sometimes a razor sharp edge that cuts, but it's also the medicine we need. I pray, God, in the next few minutes as we gather together as your people just sitting around talking, would you give us the freedom to be ourselves and to just open up? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The wave dab.